91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today we welcome back Brandon Berry, Executive Director of the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater. He'll tell us about decades of historic productions and what's to come at the Fillmore. Artistic Director and Founder Elisa Rosal of the Ballet Flamenco La Rosa speaks about her Miami-based dance company and the Performing Arts Network. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Please stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News.
Ed Bell's South Florida Arts Beat, which airs each Friday at 1 p.m., is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on WLRN Extra HD, now with more power and better coverage in South Florida. Listen on your HD radio at 91.3-2 or live online at WLRN.org.
The rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip. Ladies have dress full of your quip.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Artistic Director and Founder Elisa Rosal of the Ballet Flamenco La Rosa speaks with Charles Greenfield about her Miami-based dance company and the Performing Arts Network. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Well, back in 1950, the Miami Beach Municipal Auditorium hosted the Legends of the Day. The television boom of the 60s brought the Ed Sullivan Show, Miss USA, and the Miss Universe pageants, and even the Dick Clark Show, among other events. In 1964, Jackie Gleason was offered the opportunity to film his show at the auditorium, and the country heard that, quote, Miami Beach audiences are the greatest in the world, unquote. TV broadcasts continued, of course, in the 70s when famed architect Morris Lapidus renovated the site, which was renamed the Miami Beach Theater of the Performing Arts. Broadway shows made it a regular stop. In 2007, the theater was again reborn, undergoing a multi-million-dollar renovation. Now operated by Live Nation, it continues its illustrious tradition as both a great theatrical and performance center. And with us today to see what greatness the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater will bring South Florida is their general manager, Mr. Brandon Berry. And good to have you back on the show, Brandon.
Great to be back, Ed.
Good to have you here, sir. Hey, run down a brief list of the legends that you know of that have performed at the theater over the decades. It's voluminous.
It is. It's absolutely huge.
Take us back to 1950.
You know, we were talking about it earlier before we went on the air, and as the whole Donald Trump saga continues out in Doral. We were actually the home of the first Miss Universe pageant mm-hmm. back in 1950. Mm-hmm. So not only did we host the Jackie Gleason show, but even prior to that, there was a lot going on in the building already. Mm-hmm. Add to that the site of the 1968 Democratic National Convention mm-hmm. At the Miami Beach Convention Center, and we were obviously part of that with the press corps over at the Jackie Gleason Theater at the time. We were at the Miami Beach Municipal Auditorium, as you said earlier. We were there, but even we saw Muhammad Ali's manager, Angelo Dundee, and Chris Dundee had a boxing promotion firm that they ran boxing promotions out of the theater as well. The Ed Sullivan Show, and then just people that used to hang in the theater itself when they'd come in to see a show. Bob Hope, Frank Sinatra, Jack Benny were all regular visitors at the theater back in the late 50s and early 60s. When the television boom really started and we got the Jackie Gleason Show down here, you know, the Jackie Gleason Show was basically Saturday Night Live meets mm-hmm. The Tonight Show, mm-hmm. And it was watched
in much more
by,
sedate form. Yeah,
absolutely, and much more watched.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a lot to watch back then. You didn't have 200 channels to watch; you had three, and so the viewership was much larger, and people would gather in front of their TVs to see the Jackie Gleason show. Obviously, we did a lot of Broadway, everything from Phantom of the Opera to Cats was done at the theater after the renovations were done to become the Theater of Performing Arts. And then when we took over the building, that being Live Nation, in 2007, when we started our management agreement with the city of Miami Beach, we've had a multitude of artists perform there, from Lenny Kravitz to Janet Jackson to Justin Timberlake, just to name a few of the stars that have graced the stage in the past couple of years. So there's really a big history of people coming to the theater.
I hope you all will publish a story about that famed hall, because no doubt the greatest names in entertainment played that hall at one time or another. I'm thinking Elvis, of course. The Beatles didn't, but Jackie Gleason brought so many great people of his era. Did he actually live backstage for a while? Did I understand? He loved his dressing room so much or something?
I wouldn't say that he lived backstage, but he did know to frequent it for the evening on many occasions.
The city gave him a great home on Alton, I believe. It's an unusual building. But how does it feel to work at such an incredible location with its incredible production history? Do you walk 6 inches off the ground?
You know, we're very fortunate to continue the tradition of entertaining audiences on Miami Beach. As you said earlier, Jackie stated that the Miami Beach audience is the greatest audience in the world, and we get to see people prove that every night of the week. Last night we had a show with Britt Floyd, which is a Pink Floyd tribute artist, for over 2,200 people on a Thursday night came out to see the band perform, and we saw people come all the way down from Palm Beach and Broward County down to the beach in order to be able to see that show. So we do get to continue the tradition of entertaining audiences on Miami Beach and bringing it to a new generation with the talent that we're working with. One of the things that we did when we took over the building in 2007 and we started the management agreement with the city is around the same time that Jackie Gleason was doing his show on Miami Beach, a whole counterculture movement was happening in San Francisco in the late 60s at the same time, with Bill Graham being at the forefront of the music promoters there. And he was working with the Grateful Dead. He was working with Janis Joplin. He was working with Jefferson Airplane.
Miles Davis, wow. The Allman Brothers, yeah, everybody. Santana.
One day he caught a young kid trying to sneak into the window of the Fillmore in San Francisco in order to be able to come see a show. Well, that young kid turned out to be an amazing Mexican guitar player named Carlos Santana.
Oh, cool.
And that's how Bill and Carlos first met.
Yeah.
In the late 60s. So as Jackie was doing his show down here in Miami Beach, Bill Graham was promoting these great concerts over in San Francisco at the height of the counterculture hippie movement with all of the big names over there at the time. And when we took over the management agreement with the city, we said, wouldn't it be amazing to marry the rich history of the Fillmore experience with the energy and passion of Miami Beach and the Jackie Gleason Theater and create an entity where people from all cultures could come to. And that's when the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater was officially born. We've now been operating the building, like I said, since 2007. We're hosting anywhere from 125 to 150 events a year. And we're having over 125,000 people come through the doors every year.
That's magnificent.
So we're very fortunate to be carrying on the tradition here on Miami Beach, and we're happy to be doing it with the Fillmore name.
So you celebrate the great production legacies of Jackie Gleason and Bill Graham. Tell me about the Gleason Room backstage, which is a small theater. Describe it for us and tell us about its necessity. You really need a small room like that.
Absolutely. And we're seeing a lot more of this come to fruition. As you know, O Cinema has now taken over the Byron Carlisle Theater up in North Beach, and is showing some great movies there that you're not going to see anywhere else. The Rhythm Foundation, one of our friends and one of the great nonprofit promoters in the area, has just taken over the North Beach Bandshell, and they're producing a whole nother caliber of entertainment there. The New World Symphony is directly across the street from us, and they are doing some amazing wall casts on Wednesday evenings during season. They're showing movies, and the first Saturday of every month they're showing wall performances. But we needed a space on Miami Beach for local nonprofit and arts and entertainment groups to be able to showcase their talent. And that's one of the reasons why we started the Fillmore Miami Beach, the Gleason Room backstage. But the real reason why we started was we were producing South Beach Comedy Festival a few years ago. And right before they started building the New World Center for the Performing Arts, we were doing shows at the Lincoln Theater.
Great little spot.
It was an awesome spot, and it was a great place for a 200-capacity comedy show. Well, the Lincoln Theater got announced that they were going to be turned into an H&M.
Hmm.
And we were all sitting in catering backstage at the Gleason one day, and we were trying to figure out where we were going to have a 200-capacity room.
Whose idea was it? are you going to be a collective, diplomatic?
Ed, I'm going to tell you, it was a collective light bulb.
Very good.
Went off and kind of all over us at the same time. A little ding came in, and we were sitting in catering, and we looked around, and we said, wait a second, we could probably start doing shows back here. So we started producing shows back there. So then we were doing shows at the Colony Theater. We were doing shows at the Gleason Room backstage, and we were doing shows in the main hall. And Amy Schumer was one of the first comedians to ever actually perform in that room.
What a get.
Yeah.
She's just terrific.
And now she's I was telling you earlier, she's coming to our amphitheater in West Palm Beach, where she'll be headlining the Oddball Comedy Festival. So she's gone from 200 on Miami Beach to 20,000 in West Palm Beach.
Bravo,
in just
girl.
A short amount of time. So we're fortunate
else.
To have had her there.
Brandon Berry, general manager of the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater, our guest today. We'll have one more segment with him because there's a lot to talk about. Of course, the Fillmore at 1700 Washington Avenue on Miami Beach, 305-673-7300. Is that still your current number, I
that
believe?
Is, yeah.
And more info, of course, at fillmoremb.com. We'll return with more conversation with Brandon in just a moment. We have 21 minutes after the hour here on South Florida Arts Beat. Ed Bell with you. Our guest, Mr. Brandon Berry, general manager of the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater, 1700 Washington Avenue on the beautiful beach of Miami Beach, 305-673-7300, and more info at fillmoremb.com. And Brandon, we wanted to ask you about this city surcharge that helps you run the Miami Beach resident ticket program. Wow.
Yeah. I think it's a very unique program that the city of Miami Beach has developed, and we've been operating for them, where every ticket that gets purchased at the theater, $1.50 from each one of those ticket sales goes to a fund to support students and senior citizens being able to purchase tickets at a reduced rate to any show at the theater. And when I say reduced rate, Ed, I'm not saying $5 off. we're talking $10 tickets.
Wow,
for,
that's very generous.
Artists such as Justin Timberlake or Janet Jackson or Lenny Kravitz, we give 60 students and senior citizens the opportunity once a month to come out to the theater. It's the third Tuesday of every month to come out to the theater and purchase tickets to all of our shows coming up for the following month. And that program is subsidized by people coming to shows. So by you coming to a show, you're supporting arts and culture on Miami Beach. The rest of that fund is used for nonprofit promoters and nonprofit arts organizations that can be national or international to bring talent to the Gleason, to the Jackie Gleason Theater, for the residents to enjoy. And the nonprofit can apply for a rent waiver with the City of Miami Beach that basically covers the rent of coming in and renting our facility from us. And they get an opportunity to present their craft. This year we're going to be doing something a little bit coming up with a tango group. With Tango Lovers is one of the nonprofits that we're working with. City Theater is one of the nonprofits that we're working with. We work with all sorts of different groups, and they get to come in and rent the theater for no out-of-pocket expense, except for their normal labor charges and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great program. The program is
very generous,
completely funded by people who love the arts. Because if you buy a ticket to a show, you're supporting the program.
That really spurs arts production magnificently. Geez, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful program that the City of Miami Beach has set up and supported, and we're proud to operate it for them at the theater. I should also mention that the theater is always available for special events and rentals, whether or not you're a wedding or a mitzvah, or even you want to bring in a world music artist. We're a place that can do that, and we're a place that make ourselves readily available to come in and be able to host your own event at the facility. And we've done everything from birthday parties to product launches to conventions. So we really get the full run at the theater, and we get to do so many amazing events every year. And our team is so excited whenever any group comes in to produce an event with us, because it's something that hopefully we haven't done before, and we're looking forward to always doing new things at the theater.
Bravo for those great community services in essence, because it really does stimulate an awful lot of wonderful shows and education, too, in
Absolutely.
The arts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Brandon Berry, let's talk about an incredible show schedule that will take us through the rest of the summer into the fall. And Rob Bell there tonight at 8:30.
Yes, sir. Rob Bell is coming in. He's a lecturer, and he's going to be doing some guest speaking on Everything is Spiritual. Next week, we're actually hosting a group called Hell's a Poppin', and they are an authentic 1920s sideshow that is toured with Ozfest and Warp Tour features some really elaborate stuff. Next week, we'll also be hosting Fifth Harmony.
That's on the 29th.
Who's on the 29th, yeah. And they're actually, they were formed at the Fillmore during X Factor tapings a few years ago, and they're all Miami residents that have now gone to international pop superstardom. So we're excited to get them in. We're excited to do a Latin reggaeton artist named Joely Randy on August 1st. My Morning Jacket, one of the great alternative rock bands that are out there right now, on August 3rd. Brandon Flowers from The Killers on August 19th. Humphreys McGee.
He's off on his own now.
He is. He's doing some
that
solo
was such a
stuff.
Great band.
And who knows if they might get together, but in the meantime, if you
a reunion.
You still want a little bit of taste, you can come and see Brandon Flowers at the theater on August 19th. Humphreys McGee on August 27th.
Great jam
22nd.
Band.
And you know, who said that the summer is slow in Miami Beach, right?
I see you've got City Theater coming back in September.
Yeah,
wonderful,
they're
going to
do Shorts
theater.
Gone Wild back in the Gleason Room, which is going to be great. We've got Purity Ring, who's an electronic pop band, coming on September 11th. Tango Lovers, who I mentioned earlier, on September 17th. Dajjal, which is a French comic, on September 17th as well. The Neighborhood on September 22nd. Nick Jonas from the Jonas Brothers on September 27th. Lila Downs, famous Mexican world music artist, on October 3rd. And then one that I'm really looking forward to.
Looking forward to this, I gotta
John Cleese and Eric Idle from Monty Python, together again for the very first time, is the byline on that one. So
I'm
that's
glad those
be
guys
amazing.
Are still around.
That's going to be a great show. We've got Walk the Moon on October 13th, Estopa, great Latin rock band, on October 24th. Margaret Cho on
wonderful
October
comedian.
30th. Absolutely wonderful comedian. She's actually been part of the comedy festival before. We're happy to get her here. And as a
she plays Miami game. Regularly.
She does, yeah. Every couple of years.
Bravo.
Ida Kede, 40th anniversary
great
show.
Great Cuban big band.
Featuring Chucho Valdez, which is going to be great. And I need to mention, we're also doing the Rose Max Samba Party.
I love Rose
on
Max.
August 8th, which she is going to be great.
Such a wonderful vocalist, Ramatis,
husband, is an amazing performer.
Brazilian
as well.
Guitar.
I definitely think if you haven't been out for one of our Rose Max Samba parties, we're doing them at least monthly, if not bi-monthly.
They're at the,
in
Gleason,
the Gleason room,
backstage.
Yeah, and we forgot to mention it earlier, but it's totally worth coming and checking out.
How do people, Brandon, find out about the various events? Obviously, you can go to fillmoremb.com, but can you push us some info?
Sure. You can log on to our Facebook. Just search for Fillmore on Facebook. We're also on Instagram, Twitter. You can check us out on now on Periscope, as we did earlier with today's broadcast. And you can always just stop by the theater and see what's going on. We're a great walk-up facility because we are in the middle of the heart of South Beach.
Let's not forget the Moscow Ballet.
Coming back for the Nutcracker.
Wow. Great Russian Nutcracker. That is December 27th. Two shows on that Sunday. Well, it's been, as always, great fun to speak with you, Brandon Barry, the general manager of the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater, located at 1700 Washington Avenue on beautiful Miami Beach. Call 305-673-7300 for more info. And, of course, always check out more info on their great website at fillmoremb.com. Thank you to Craig, your Live Nation PR man, and good luck. Sounds like a great season coming up. And
thank you.
We wish you the best.
We wish you the best, too. And Ed, thanks again for having us on. We really appreciate everything you do for the arts in South Florida.
Thank you, sir. Well, please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. Listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Since the mid-80s, Ballet Flamenco La Rosa has educated and thrilled audiences with their workshops and performances. Here's Charles Greenfield to elaborate.
With our large Hispanic population, it is natural that dance forms are included and well-rooted in South Florida's cultural arena. Ballet Flamenco La Rosa, under the artistic direction of founder Elisa Rosal, has become one of the country's best-known flamenco companies and offers performances year-round as well as classes at Performing Arts Network at 13124 West Dixie Highway. There are classes in flamenco dance, singing, and guitar for students young and old. Ballet Flamenco La Rosa has produced shows that demonstrate traditional flamenco techniques with imaginative choreography borrowed from literature like Arthur Miller's The Crucible, Las Brujas de Salem, Shakespeare, Rey Lear, or King Lear, and La Dama Macbeth, and Bernard Shaw's Caesar and Cleopatra, Cleopatra y César. The dance company has worked with local tablaos or flamenco clubs since 1985. As a nonprofit, it has received national, state, county, and city grants over the years with outreach lecture programs in libraries, public schools, and community centers. Recently, I had the pleasure to speak to Elisa Rosal about Ballet Flamenco La Rosa, its history, its dance techniques, cross-pollination with other dance forms, and recent works. Elisa Rosal, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Elisa, briefly describe your background in the arts and what led you to founding Ballet Flamenco La Rosa.
Well, I was a dancer and choreographer and actor throughout my childhood and early years, and I had a lot of theater training throughout my school years and a little bit at the University of Miami. And while I was studying classical ballet, I was introduced to flamenco and I fell in love with it. So I pursued that more and more, and eventually I danced in several companies in New York. And then I realized I wanted to do authentic flamenco, so I moved to Spain. And I lived in Spain for 5 years, performing with many, many companies and working with the best artists at the time. And after 5 years, I realized I really wanted to start my own company, and the best place to do that would be Miami. So I came back, and I started a school and a company at the same time so that I could train dancers for my company and audience members.
And when was that?
I started in 1985.
And very briefly, what is the mission statement of the organization?
Well, the mission is really to present authentic flamenco, which is with live music, and to expand the range and the boundaries of flamenco. So we do a lot of traditional pure flamenco work, and then we do a lot of very cutting edge new work.
Now, you teach flamenco to children and adults. What are the simple ABCs of understanding the flamenco technique? Is it a step-by-step process?
It is. I would say we start with the footwork. That is the rhythm that we do with our feet. And then we also do rhythms with our hand clapping and finger snapping, which are called pitos and palmas. And in the dance class, we also learn about other types of dance steps that are moving across the floor. And then arm movements are very, very important. Arms and hands are very expressive in flamenco. So those are the main technical parts. We also teach castanets because it's a very important part of the technique of Spanish dance. Even though it's not authentic to pure flamenco, it's part of the overall Spanish dance technique. And it really helps students to learn the rhythm, and it helps to get a stronger arm placement or port de bras. So that's also part of our training.
I'm curious to know how you connect flamenco to other dance forms like jazz, tap, blues, and Middle Eastern, Sephardic, and Indian dance. Are there common elements? Flamenco seems to be associated with gypsy culture, but you're suggesting there are worldwide connections.
Definitely. Flamenco really evolved in medieval Spain, where many cultures coexisted in what's become known as the Golden Age. So flamenco's roots really are European dances of the time, as well as Arabic, African, Jewish. So those are already elements that are in flamenco. So I have done work where I focus on elements and create fusion work where we start with the music and we use musicians from both styles, and then we create choreography based on what we find musically interesting.
Tablaos, flamenco clubs, what is their role here in South Florida?
They're very important, and they've really grown since 1985. When I started, there were one or two tablaos, and now there are many. And it's a great training ground for artists to get their tablas, the boards, in acting, so that you actually get performance experience. Because part of the training is what you learn in the classroom, the technique and developing your body as the instrument. But a lot of it is the interpretation, the expression. And since flamenco is performed with live music, it's the interaction between the dancers and the musicians. So many things happen spontaneously in performance. So it's wonderful for dancers to be able to develop, and for audiences also to learn about flamenco and to develop their love for flamenco.
Now tell us about the international artists you have brought to our region and what they represent.
We've brought so many, dozens and dozens of international artists, many, many from Spain and also from as far as Japan. We have brought artists from Sweden. We're going to bring an artist from Russia this coming year. I've gotten involved in a process where I've brought some of the great classic plays to flamenco works. So I've created these flamenco ballets based on great classical plays.
I want to talk about that in a moment. Your group mixes dance with drama, especially from literature, Arthur Miller, Shakespeare, George Bernard Shaw. What are elements in literature that inspire you in creating dance forms from flamenco that concentrate on dramatic high points and themes? Give us some examples from recent works on how this is brought together.
Well, first of all, I need to say that flamenco is a universal expression, and it can express anything from comedy to tragedy, from the mundane everyday life to very intense dramatic moments. So I am particularly inspired by many of the tragic plays because I think flamenco is so dramatic. It's a great language for tragedy. So I have chosen writers like Chekhov, Ibsen, Shakespeare, Euripides, and it really has been very successful because it helps people relate both to the play and to flamenco in a new way.
Well, why don't you give us an example more specifically? In late May, you presented El Padre, taken from Strindberg's The Father. How was the reception and what was the goal of the work from a dance perspective and its literary representation?
Well, the challenge is to express in movement what is expressed in words. So we have to go to the heart of the emotional, spiritual, psychological elements, kind of like the subtext, I would say. We are representing the subtext rather than the text. Although flamenco has singing, so we also write original lyrics that are sung in Spanish, and we use some of the imagery that is used in the language of the writer. Also, symbolically in dance, sometimes we'll use some of the symbols. A good example, in El Padre, the writer referred to an unbreakable cord that connects a man and a woman once they have a child. So we actually used a piece of fabric that symbolized first the umbilical cord where the mother was connected to the daughter, and then connecting the three, the mother, the father, and the daughter in this unbreakable bond. And the father decided to break it, so he tore the cord away. And so that was a very theatrical moment, very symbolic, very visual, taken from an image that the playwright wrote.
Yet the frame of that was classical flamenco technique.
Exactly.
And how did that framing mix with the literary representation? What were the dangers or what were the advantages?
Well, the process is I would write a script, which is each scene what was going to happen. And the challenge is to translate from words to visual. So in each scene, I had to focus on what is really going on. What is it that we're trying to communicate? The essence of the emotion, the character, what is the character feeling and thinking, and what are the relationships between the other characters? And then with the rhythm of the footwork, it really becomes not so much about the steps. We could use any number of steps, but it's how the steps are interpreted by the upper body, the arms, the facial expression, the movement. And through the body, we see the feeling and the interaction and the psychological development of the characters.
That's fascinating. Are there some flamenco events coming up this fall and winter that you can share with our audience?
Yes, we will be doing some pure flamenco performances at PAN Performing Arts Network in North Miami, and those dates will be announced shortly. And then we are going to be doing another dramatic flamenco ballet based on a Chekhov play, The Seagull, and it's called La Gaviota. And one of the lead roles will be danced by a very famous flamenco dancer from Russia. So we're really excited about that. What I referred to earlier was that I've been very fortunate to get funding for international collaboration. And I have often included artists that are flamenco artists, but from the native country of the playwright. So that brings another point of view and another insight to the project.
Well, you certainly rounded that one off well. Elisa Rosal, thank you so much for attending South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
Ballet Flamenco La Rosa has been South Florida's premier flamenco-inspired dance organization for several decades. In the last 10 years, the group, under the direction and choreography of Elisa Rosal, has presented shows with international artists performing works taken from world literature, including Arthur Miller, Shakespeare, Bernard Shaw, and Strindberg. Its work with the community involves outreach to schools and community centers and private lessons from their office at Performing Arts Network in North Miami. For more information about their performances and classes, call 305-899-7729 or go to their website at balletflamencolarosa.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. To South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I want the fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot, do, 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 yeah, do, do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is a Thai place called Cake. Cut into a small set of drab storefronts on Biscayne Boulevard near the 79th Street Causeway and a beat-up bus stop sits Cake. It's the name of a restaurant. By the time I read these words into a microphone for you and our fine friend Peter records them here in the WLRN studios, I would bet a lot of Cake, my wife Janet, and I will have gone there at least two more times. Let me tell you why. Despite this not being a radio show devoted to restaurant criticism, I have learned a great deal about the cuisines of the world and thus the food words of the world by eating at restaurants. In this restaurant whereof I speak, I could easily find and expound on 50 words. But before we narrow down to specifics, let's just open up our mouths very, very wide and shove a big, amazing wedge of cake in there. While a group of humans of four races, religions, and colors sit on a bus stop bench and wait for delivery to someplace, almost right behind them in a hot box of a kitchen, an angel is cooking like a demon. To find the best food in a city can take one past the manicured lawns of Coral Gables and the $20 valet stands of South Beach. So we venture out. I have learned that his real name is Phuket, like the place in Thailand, but his friends and family call him Cake. Someone told someone who I was, and the chef came out of the kitchen to greet me. He spoke not a word. He walked like a professional boxer, pacing up to the ring. He looked like an inner-city tough guy, but light poured out of his face, which beamed beneath a backwards-turned baseball cap. He bowed a few times in my direction and walked backwards into his kitchen. We had some of his food already, and I was just as happy as a man can be about how well this guy was making flavors. I wanted to say more, but his shy and ornate respect held me at bay. Our waiter said, "That is my brother, Cake. He really is an amazing chef." We already had some dinner at home ideas, so the plan was to keep lunch light. So much for plans. We had a pad thai with prawns, an eggplant dish with tofu, and pork shoulder braised with tamarind and served with wide noodles and a spicy Thai sauce I slathered across it. Chalkboard specials we will be back for included Tom Young Tiger Prawn Soup with lemongrass, galangal, citrus, and lime, fried dried skirt steak marinated with whiskey and soy sauce, spicy pork tenderloin and noodle soup, and a crispy chive cake. Foods with macho heat and racy acidity ring my bell. And I told you that I could find a heap of food words to write about, and will, once I get to the part where I put down my fork. When I asked his brother why he was dubbed Cake, he repeated the story I am sure brother has had to tell more than a few dozen times since the little place opened. It goes like this. When their mother was pregnant with the embryonic chef, she craved one food above all others, cake. And that takes it. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
You know what I mean? Cut the cake. Give me a little piece. Nothing.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Pork Butts. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Tell me about the fabulous Florida Keys, Andy.
Ed, can you believe that we're almost at midsummer now?
It's gone by too quick.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in those fabulous Florida Keys. Ed, you know, we don't talk very much about fishing tournaments, but I think it's important to really highlight the Key West Fishing Tournament. It is celebrating its 50th anniversary. It is free to enter, and more than 50,000 citations have been awarded to anglers around the world during the tournament's lifetime. Let's move on here. In Key West through October 30th, another freebie. It's a sense of place featuring the late Richard Kemble's works. We're talking about woodcuts, sculptures, ink on paper, collages, and oil pastels, organized by the Florida Keys Council of the Arts and on display at the historic Gatto Building weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And again, it's a freebie. In Key West still, through July 25th, the Red Barn Theater presenting the Key West Summer Stage. Highlights include the final three performances of A Streetcar Named Desire and the new Key West Radio Theater. It's bringing to life some of the classic serials and programs of the golden age of radio live to stage. Ed, this event is for you, July 21st to the 26th. We're talking about next week. It's the 35th annual Hemingway Day celebration. There is literary readings, the Laurie and Hemingway short story competition, the Bacardi Oakhart Key West Marlin Tournament, Hemingway 5K Sunset Run and Paddleboard Race, the Running of the Bulls, and the ever-popular Papa Hemingway Lookalike Contest, staged at Sloppy Joe's Bar. Ed, I always tell you, you need to be down there. You need to enter that contest.
I might take you up on that one of these days.
Sounds great. In Alamorada, July 22nd, at the Keys History and Discovery Center, treasure diving in the Keys with Captain Carl Fismer. He's had more than 35 years of treasure salvage experience off the Florida Keys, including the world-famous ship, the Atocha. August 6th to the 9th in Key West to celebrate the start of the Florida Keys lobster season. It is the Key West Lobster Fest. There's the Thursday night lobster ball, the Friday night Duval crawl, the Saturday street fair with lobster-inspired culinary creations, a free concert, and a lobster brunch on Sunday. August 13th to the 16th in Key West brings us Tropical Heat. It's an all-male celebration, including pool and dance parties, on-the-water adventures, and a fundraising fashion show. Still in Key West, August 14th to the 16th, the second annual Mystery Writers Key West Fest. It's open to authors, aspiring authors, and non-writing mystery buffs alike. It features international best-selling author Jeffrey Deaver. It'll include workshop presentations, panel events with renowned crime fiction and true crime authors, and one-on-one consultations with publishing industry experts. Let's move up the Florida Keys a little bit here. August 15th, the Anything That Floats Regatta Race. Grab your oars, Ed, and anything that floats, and enjoy this family fun festival. It's an on-the-water race of vessels crafted from standard items around the house on Blackwater Sound at Sundowners Restaurant. On Thursday, August 20th in Alamorada, the Morada Way Arts and Cultural District is presenting its third Thursday Art Walk, August edition. It's all between mile marker 81 and 82 from 6 to 9 p.m. August 20th to the 23rd up in Key Largo, the Upper Keys Reef Crawl. Share in the fun and sun as you dive, snorkel, kayak, and paddle the amazing reefs along the way. There will be hands-on seminars by the Coral Restoration Foundation and the Reef Organization. Let's just peek into September, Ed, and tick off a couple of events. September 2nd to the 7th, the 6th annual Key West Brew Fest. On September 12th in Key Largo, the Lionfish Derby for divers. September 14th to the 20th, the 43rd annual Phil Peterson's Key West Poker Run. Can you say bikers? Okay, we've got motorcycles from all around the U.S. that will be traveling the Key Scenic Overseas Highway. from mainland Florida to Key West to raise money for charity. On September 19th in Alamorada, the third annual Alamorada Swim for Alligator Lighthouse. It's an open water distance swim, 9-mile round trip swim race from the shores of Alamorada to Alligator Lighthouse and back. And you can participate as individuals, 2-person and 4-person relay teams. And 2 events in October, the Humphrey Bogart Film Festival. This year, it's October 21st to the 25th. It will be honoring the very best of Bogie's films and celebrate the life of his wife, Lauren Bacall. You'll have host Stephen Bogart. He's the son of Bogie and Bacall. He'll be joined by co-host Eddie Muller. He's known as the czar of film noir. And actress Monica Henreid, who is the daughter of Casablanca actor Paul Henreid. The festival, by the way, is the only of its kind to be backed by the Bogart estate. It's being produced in partnership with the Key Largo Chamber of Commerce. And finally, not too early to start making your plans for the 36th annual Key West Fantasy Fest. That is October 23rd to November 1st. The 2015 festival theme, All Hallows Intergalactic Freak Show. Hey, Ed, much more information on these and so many other events on the Florida Keys website. It's flakeys.com.
And it's fabulous. Thank you so much, Andy Newman, Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Great weekend to you, sir. I know it's going to be a busy one.
And a great weekend to you, too.
And here's a couple of freebies. The Rhythm Foundation presents Big Night in Little Haiti. Tonight it's free, featuring Class and Caravan, and the Rhythm Foundation also features Dance Band Night every second Thursday of the month. They'll teach you to dance at the North Beach Band Shell, 7275 Collins Avenue on Miami Beach. I certainly need that. NorthBeachBandShell.com, or you can call 305-672-5202 for more info. The Dance Band Night is free with a suggested donation at the door. You can also go to rhythmfoundation.com. And tomorrow, Downtown Hollywood Art Walk at various locations throughout Downtown Hollywood. Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. More info at hollywoodfl.org or call 954-924-2980. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director. We'd also like to thank our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Of course, Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye and joy.